Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. Many of you really actually believe that gay is sin, and you say the Bible says that gay is sin. However, I wish that I would have a way that I can actually get you to start thinking about what you say. For some reason or another, so many of you have no clue about who the gay person is. The most simplest way I can ever, you know, present it to you is just to say, think about you and you as a straight person, and think what you do. You know, you were born, you grew up, you met your peers. They told you a lot of things. Your parents probably didn't tell you things. Some of them might have, but most of them probably just let you learn because they didn't want to talk about it. And so you learn when you reach a certain age about certain things, and you felt in your body certain things, and so this caused you to want to, you know, when you use the word date, the opposite sex. And you do this, and then all around all your classes and functions after school and so forth is designed around that the opposite sex is kind of meet, you know, the dances, and then you finally got the prom, and you have all these kind of feelings inside you, and you get all excited, you know, when you meet the opposite sex. You have this kind of feeling that, your desire is to find somebody to live with the rest of your life, and even when you're way before even knowing what you're thinking about, you're always thinking about one day you're going to be married. You know, everything is, you know, you have a concept of what it's like to grow up as a straight person and then get married. And lots of you have been married a long time. Lots of you have been divorced, and lots of you have done all kinds of stuff that, generally speaking, we would say is sexual sin. And but we just kind of like to push it under the carpet because now we're married and have kids, and your life is going on. You have your house and all that. And, you know, lots of, you know, our stereotypical image of a marriage is, in the United States, you got your house in the suburb, you got 2.5 kids, you got two cars, and, you know, everything in, you have the grocery store down on the block there. However, in real life, a good portion of married folk live in all kinds of different kinds of conditions. You know, apartment downtown, a lot of single moms and single dads, and lots of different kinds of circumstances around the marriage. And they're all married. So there's lots of different kinds of things. But when we go to church and we want to think about marriage, generally we think about our stereotypical image of what a marriage is. And if anybody doesn't fit that, then it's sin. Or like gays certainly couldn't fit that. But what I'm trying to explain to you, if you can get your idea of what straight people are, you know that they're promiscuous. You know that. Some of them brag of thousands of sexual partners. Now, all of you don't have that, but many of you have had a number of sexual partners in your life. Some of you, not many, have actually married the first person you ever met. And all kinds of stuff goes on there. But see, you're a human being, and you're straight, and you know that one of these days you're going to get married, and you actually do, and many of you that listen to me now are married. And so you look at the past when you did all kinds of things that maybe, according to the church, you know, you shouldn't have and ought to have done. But, you know, you don't care. Now you're happily married off, supposedly. You know, if we turn on the TV, we look at the kind of marriage programs that we have today is just, you go crazy with hearing all the arguments and the attacks on each other. It's just, no matter what, even in any kinds of the sitcoms on there, it's just fight, fight, fight. And these are generally heterosexual relationships that it seems like it's just tearing you apart. The relationship, how could a relationship stay together with the kinds of things that we are now watching on television? But generally speaking, we still have, those of you that are straight, don't really consider straight sexual sins. You say, that's out there, you know about it, that's fine, and don't need to get too much into it, because I'm married now. or something like that. Anyway, as a straight person, you have a good concept of what it's like. You know that when you got of the right age, you really wanted to find somebody to fall in love with. You like to make it nice and general. You know, this is your idea for life, above almost anything else, above any kind of job career, above any kind of hobby, above everything takes second seat to falling in love. You could stop anything to fall in love. Now, some of you don't, but I'm talking about, generally speaking, people will change their lives to fall in love with somebody, because that's what they do. Some don't, and some have to work out the difference, because then they have to go back that I didn't really want to change my life. I did like these things. I did like my career. And so you have a lot of, you know, what I'm trying to do is to kindle up your idea of what it is to be you as a straight person. Now we add Christianity in there. You as a straight Christian has a concept of what it is to be heterosexual, because you are heterosexual. You were born that, you grew into that, and you developed into that, and you went out and you began practicing it. And later you got married, had kids, bought a house, car or two or three or four, and so forth. And some of you just kind of rent. Lots of you rent. You know, we don't like to think of the married folk that don't have it, or have to really work a little bit harder, or don't live in this nice suburb type of situation, that we have this concept about marriages. And so if you know what it's like to be heterosexual, and you know these terms the Bible uses, like vile passion, what does that make it into your brain? What's your concept? We see a word. Who's interpreting it? Do we use Bible interpretation translation, or do we use yours? What is this vile? What's that word? What is these types of things that you read in there that to you, I mean, it's obviously talking about something, and indeed sexual, that is really, really bad kind of situation, that is so disgusting and kind of situation. And I mean, what do you have in that concept? Do you have that it is describing the sex between a man and a woman that is happily married for 15 years? Is that what it's describing? Is it describing the sex of a young man, meaning a young woman, and going on their first date? Maybe they had sex. Is this describing this when you read Romans chapter 1? When you read about this vile kind of passion? Is this what you're reading? Because once you understand the process that you go through sexually as a heterosexual person, and you know yourself that, I mean, some people, you know, like to kid around, you know, and call themselves a slut or something, as a kind of a kidding kind of thing, because you kind of know that you have, but deep inside, you know, you're looking for that person to love. You don't really associate it too much. Some of you do, because some of you just really nitpicky, and you just want to find every single thing that's different than you to be sin. Different your concept, and you say it's the Bible, but you see there's thousands and millions of Christians around the world for 2,000 years. You got lots of Christians to compare with, and what's so good about you that you're different than all the other Christians that has ever existed. In certain times past, they didn't understand some things. They didn't have technology as such that helps you understand things. They didn't know a few more stuff. They didn't even know the world was round. They didn't know that you could actually land on the moon and stuff like that. They didn't know these things to add into the equation of what the Bible is talking about when it is talking about God. The few things they didn't know, but the most of the human nature of this is the same. We're still the same person inside that Adam was. And so, who are you to say you are right? What makes your church more right than the past 2,000 years? What makes your pastor more right? What makes your set of ministers that you'd like to listen to, what makes you in your own evaluation of all the stuff that you take in about Jesus Christ more right than all of the people that ever were? You're just one person that has adjusted to a good type of way of how you want to deal with Jesus Christ. Doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong. Doesn't mean you're right. It doesn't mean you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And it just means that everybody is working out their salvation as they live their life. And so you have a concept of what it is to be you, and basically you know you're a sinner, but you think you're pretty good. You're otherwise decent folk. Now, some of you might not be that are listening here, but you know, come on, we're talking about general idea of Christianity and why you want to define gay sex differently than straight sex. Because you say, Romans, for instance, says vile passions, and somehow in your mind this is what you think gay sex is. Instead of understanding what gay sex really is, because there's 600 million plus gay people in the world, so there's lots of opportunity to talk about this situation from people that are the gay person. Now, there's lots of gay people that are promiscuous, and lots of gay people that are doing the stuff that it seems very clear, you know, that should be basically sexual sins, you know. And they're not because they're gay, because straights doing the same kinds of things, promiscuity and prostitution and various other kinds of things, and just having, you know. But you see, gays are, there is a difference. They've been persecuted for at least 700 years. And so they had to live a dual life, you know. Secret agent man. They had to have two identities. One to appear straight to the world, and then one to fulfill who they are, as you can openly fulfill who you are as a straight person. Gays generally have to fulfill who they are secretly. And so they have to live a two-pronged life. Some of them are so fearful of what you will do that they will not have the same sexual partner every time. They'll go for a different one every time, so that way they can keep their anonymity. Now, there's reasons. And you can't look at that and say they're having multisexual partners, as you can look at one of these sports heroes that has 25 or 2020, and movie stars, that there are some that they have, that we know, that has 2,500 sexual relationships, sexual partners. Now, those, they're just going at it because they don't have to hide nothing. They just go, you know, but. And they have no thought of it. They got to hide their heterosexuality. But the gay person, many times, are fearful, so they won't seek a long-term relationship, which we would generally would then say is nearing what a marriage would be. So, when you are talking about gays committing what would otherwise be sexual sins, as we read in the Bible, see, some of you think, well, we read in the Bible, so therefore it is law. But you see, you say, so therefore, as I interpret it and translate it and add my meaning to it, then it is the law of God. No, that's not how it works. You see, the Bible is that thick. And you can't go take a verse out and then make a whole life doctrine out of it about any type of sin you want. You got to encompass the whole Bible and all the provisions that it has for the condition. Because the same Bible that you want to use to point out to gays that they're living in sin points to you and say that you are a terrible type of person, that you are judging sheep, and you are eating food, wonderful spiritual food, and drinking of the spiritual water and letting it drip down your cheeks onto the ground and muddying the ground with your feet in that, and then other sheep comes to eat and drink of that you muddied down there. And you are the one that's doing it. And it's going to not be very good for you according to what the Bible says. The way that you judge people, that's going to come back to you severely. Because the Bible's that big, and it tells you all kinds of conditions. And so when you do things, it's going to come back to you because you are thinking that you're right and you're judging according to what your idea is. And you should be thinking things through. You're a Christian. You should stand back and objectively look. You once were living in the flesh and doing as the flesh dictates. Now you're living in the spirit. Though the flesh is still your boss, pretty much, you are warring against your flesh. So you're able to stand back. Though your flesh may hate something, your spirit can get back and look into the truth of the matter. And you can look in the truth of the matter of saying, when you read vile passions, as in Romans chapter 1, you can analyze yourself and say, if you committed the vile passion, what would it be? Well, generally, by the way that it sounds like that we hear you, is that means you're a straight person and you go out and have gay sex. Why does it always have to be vile passions? Or something like that, or doing that which is unseemly, why does it have to be same sex? Isn't there any other thing? Isn't gang rape kind of vile? Isn't some kinky kind of stuff pretty kinky? I mean, there's some really bad stuff, and you could, I mean, it's just, anybody can do it, no matter what age you are. You could click on the site on the internet, and you get vivid pictures of the most gross stuff you can imagine. So lots of times, this just pops up anyway. But anyway, so if you can know yourself about your sexuality and understand that what your love is between your opposite sex partner, whether dating or in marriage, then you can understand gay sex. Because you can say a man buying a prostitute, a woman paying it, that's heterosexual sex. You can say that. So then, if that is heterosexual sex, then all married people are sinners and should go to hell because they're not repenting of their heterosexual sex, because we already define heterosexual sex over here as that man paying a prostitute for sex. And that is a man and a woman, so that is heterosexual sex. Then we go over here, and a man's been married for 10 years, love each other, and loves God and everything, but they're having sex too, and one's a male and one's a female. So that is the same thing. It's a heterosexual sex. So we say sex is sin. Heterosexual sex is sin. Because that's what you say about gays. You see a man and a man, and so you, in a defiling situation, which the Bible actually says a straight man that has actually practiced straight sex. In other words, he's gone to bed with women. Then he went to another man. Now in Leviticus, this specific, this is just not another man. This is a whole book here and numbers of books in this chapter that describe a religious law that is of God and of heathen, pagan, fertility gods and goddesses. It is describing the governments of the land are not secular. It is describing all manner of religious kinds of taboos, as it were, both pagan and of God. And it is using words that says in the Hebrew language that these are acts that God hates because it involves fertility worship to other gods and goddesses. So when you're looking at a straight man going to bed with a male temple prostitute. Both of them are male. So then you say, well, male and male. Now we go over to this nice, loving, caring relationship. The people have been together 15 years as lovers, man and man lovers. They own their house in the suburbs, two-car family. They have neat land. You know, they groom their, mow their lawn, trim their, you go up to their house. It looks really, fits the typical, ideal American suburb house. And there they are. They have a nice job. They go to church and everything. And they love each other with a genuine love. Just like you love your wife, husband. And if they sleep together, you're saying, well, there's a man and there's a man. Well, we already described that this straight man went to this male temple prostitute, and that's a male-male sex. So male-male sex is sin. So we go over to this nice, caring, loving relationship over here. And so that's male-male sex. So that's sex, because we already defined in the Bible that, a straight male going to a male temple prostitute is sin. Just like that man I told you about that paid a woman prostitute money for sex. We know that the Bible many places says prostitution is sin, heterosexual prostitution is sin. Then we can go over to the marriage of 10 to 15 years of loving, caring man and woman, and they're a male and a female having sex. And you see how long it takes me to describe this, and I bet you still when I'm finished with that, you'll say, but it still says a man with a man. That's what you say. It's beyond my comprehension to understand how come that's still what you say. When you see a vivid description of the Bible telling you of a evil kind of sex sin, all you see is nothing about the evil kind of sin. All you see is this is a man and a man. But when you see the same kind of a verse setup that's using a man and a woman, you just say, well, that's prostitution. It has nothing to do with marriage. You still can't get it, can you? I know you can't, but I come on here every week at the same time just to try to see if maybe I can get one or two of you to understand. If you want to condemn gays, you've got to find gays in the Bible that are condemned, and you cannot. 13 verses are used against gays. 7 of them use the word sodomite. Sodomite does not mean a citizen of Sodom and people. It does not mean anal sex. I'm sorry, it does not mean that. Because you can maybe have modern translation of Webster Dictionary or something saying that. That does not mean that the Hebrew word says it. The Hebrew word says male temple prostitute. So you need to understand, when you condemn somebody, you got to condemn and compare the people to the people. And there's a lot more on this than this time allows. And things are going to happen soon that's going to shake you. And if you can't even see the difference between prostitution and love, then how are you going to see the difference between the fake second coming of Jesus Christ and the real second coming of Jesus Christ? I usually get in that in this program, but I'm out of time right now. So if you do not know Jesus, you have an opportunity right now to do so. He died for your sins. He came and he died on the cross, because you cannot die on the cross. You must pay the price for your sin, which is eternal death. But Jesus loves you so much, he came to die in your place. So if you accept what he did and believe that God rose him on the third day, then you will have eternal life. And all you have to do is confess him to somebody else. Say, hey, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ, as the situation arises. If you don't know Jesus, say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that God rose you on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Simple prayer gets you saved. Now you got to stand fast in that faith. Learn about Jesus by reading the King James Version. No other version, people. Get to that in another program. See you next week.